Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my residence here in northern British Columbia. Welcome to the show. We are a viewer-funded station, so if you guys like what's going on at People's Internet Radio, please hit the donate button. And thanks to Shake and Wake for also carrying our shows and simulcasting it on their network. And he's doing great work over there. I'm not a super intelligent guy. I've said that many times. I watch a lot of stuff. I comprehend a lot of things. But to retain the information in this small brain of mine isn't one of my better points. So I got a real smart guy. Well, a guy I call a real smart guy. Joining me today, Ron Stevens, Rockabout Radio, is on with me again today. I've had Ron on many times before and enjoyed my conversations with him. Welcome to the show, Ron. And how are you doing today, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just getting my vaccination at the minute.
What, your Gardasil? What? Or your MMR, or which one are you getting? Don't forget your flu shot, Ron.
Well, they told me that I'm short 80, so they're going to be here a while. And vaccinations, and I think I had one for smallpox when I was a kid, so they got to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not immunized, buddy. You're not safe to walk in society. You know that.
Oh, I know. I could be put everybody at hazard. I mean, at risk. I just punched up a video on my site there that there's this guy that does his show or does YouTube. He pounds out about 2-3 videos a day, and I like it because they're short, 10 minutes usually. And he just put up a video on the vaccinations with Dr. Oz and Bill Gates, and both those we know are shoving vaccinations, but neither of them vaccinate their own children. Go figure.
Go figure, right?
Yeah. So you know, my biggest fear is the children in the schools. You know, they got both parents working and trying to keep a roof over their head, and so the state has the kids, and a lot of jurisdictions around here, if you don't have your vaccinations up to date, then your kid can't go to school. And I know a lot of parents don't want to vaccinate their kids, but they don't know what to do with them, right? Because they're busy trying to work and stay alive. And so the state just keeps pumping their kids, right? Which is really unfortunate.
Well, we weren't planning a conversation on vaccines, but, you know, one of the one things in society that absolutely, it drives me nuts what's going on with the vaccination programs, how we've gotten into basically a fascist society that the state is mandating that your child must get these vaccines. Yet there's so much controversy and so much information coming out about vaccines that if I was a parent, I would never stick a needle in my kid's arm. And if it means the kid not being able to go to school, well, that's a really, really tough one, Ron. It is. And it really puts parents' backs up against the wall.
It does.
They're caught between a rock and a hard place. You know, they don't want to vaccinate their child. But like you said, in today's society, it takes two parents working to pay the bills.
Yeah,
so, you know,
they
don't have a choice.
That was done so the state gets the kids, right?
Of course. So what we need to do is form societies, inner society of homeschooling that will take in, you know, multiple children so that parents that don't want to vaccinate the children have an option. And, boy, yeah. I'll tell you, there's a series out there that everybody should really have a good look at. It's The Truth About Vaccines. It's done by Ty Bollinger. The same gentleman and the same group of people brought information forward about the truth about cancer. Both those miniseries, to me, are a must-watch by anybody that really wants to get the other side of the story as far as vaccines go and the information that's out there that's being held back from the public. We can talk about multiple scandals in big farming. One of the ones that I was just brought to my attention is the fact that they were actually putting syphilis in vaccinations, and they're now being sued. Which company is it? Is it S? I don't want to get it wrong, but I just read the article, and it is a genuine article about them being sued for $1 billion right now. Because they knowingly, I mean, we could talk about multiple situations like that. Ron, the one in Africa where Bayer was, came up with, I don't have the exact name and the dates. But, you know, they were caught red-handed, adding, the HIV virus to the vaccine.
Oh, absolutely.
And infected millions of people knowingly.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean,
anybody that doesn't look at these sides of the story is really cutting themselves short, Ron.
Yeah. I think they're up to around 80 vaccines now. And you think about this, that stuff, you put this vaccine in, and then you put that vaccine, you put this vaccine, it doesn't disappear. This shit's floating around your bloodstream all the time. So,
well,
I mean, it's just, Yeah. And so the problem is, you know, you can make this vaccine and that vaccine and this vaccine so that 10 years down the road, this reaction is going to take place, right?
Or sooner.
Yeah. So very dangerous game.
They all contain analyticals, Ron. They all contain preservatives. I mean, the stuff really, honestly, if a parent can't take 10 minutes out of their time and get the insert off the vaccine bottle and cross-reference those ingredients on your computer, you don't even have to go that far. You can punch up every ingredient in every vaccine on the market today in 2 minutes on the internet.
Well,
if you can't take 2 minutes out of your time to go look at it, then I say shame on you.
In Canada here, way back in the late 1800s, there was a humongous protest against vaccines. And I have some documents where the doctors in the States wrote letters to the president, and they referred to the vaccines as blood murder. Mm. But all that stuff gets buried, and they just keep running. But,
really started to ramp it up with the introduction of the cowpox vaccine, which came to the market in, I believe it was 1908, Ron. And I did a real good research into that, and all of a sudden this vaccine came on the market, and people all of a sudden were developing cancer. And boy, here's a new business, guys. Let's ramp it up. And henceforth, see ourselves today.
And the problem is that the doctors don't have a clue. It's no different that the teachers in the school don't have a clue what they're teaching. They just teach whatever's stuck in front of them, and the doctors say whatever's stuck in front of them. You know, when I got that fish hook in my hand, I couldn't get it out it was in my joint of my finger. I couldn't get that sucker out no how. So I go to the doctor to get it out. And, so they wanted to give me a vaccine for, tetanus. And I said, no, it's fine. I bled a lot and it's a stainless steel hook. Don't worry about it. And then they got all excited about it. And, then they offered me the combo, instead of just the one, I could have a combo for whooping cough and, tetanus. And I said, no, I just, thanks for taking the hook out. Have a nice day. Right. And then they wanted me to, they said, well, you're going to have to sign some papers so we won't be responsible if you die. Like, where do you people get this crap from? Right. And then I had a lady tell me where tetanus actually comes from. And tetanus is out of the gut of a horse. And they had a real tetanus problem back when they were in the wars, where they were riding the horses, and the horses would get cut up and blown up, and their guts would be spread all over the place, and then the guy would get cut, and he'd get into the goop, and he'd get tetanus and die. Well, I wasn't anywhere near a horse. I was near a fish. But see, the doctors don't know what the hell's going on. They just people – I keep saying this to people, you know, your education, equate that to what it really was. Okay. And that's a foot pedal garbage can. You go sit in class. I don't care if you're in a lawyer's class, a doctor's class, or just a regular school class. You sit down, the teacher hits that pedal, your lid flips up, they fill it full of garbage, the bell rings, they take their foot off the lid goes down, you go to the next class, the teacher steps on the pedal, the lid goes up again, throw some more garbage in it. Because the kids and I've talked to lawyers and that who, you know, when I explain stuff to them, they get all freaked out about it and they go, well, I didn't know that. Well, that's because you never asked a question. From the time you entered school, didn't matter school, university, college, lawyer school, doctor school, doesn't matter what, you never asked a damn question. You never challenged a damn thing. You didn't want to get in trouble. You just wanted to get your grades and move along. So what we've produced is a society of absolutely ignorant people. And this is why we find ourselves in the position we do today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a doctor's hippocratical oath is to provide the best care possible to his patient. That oath has been thrown out the window so many times because there is no excuse, as far as I'm concerned, for a doctor to not know the possible side effects of a vaccine. They're smart people, and all they have to do is do what I just said. Go home, get on your computer, look at the list of ingredients, look at what these ingredients do to the human body, and tell me you want to put that in your body. Yet you go into the doctor's office, and they're more than happy to give you a shot. It's lunacy going on in our world, but you know what? they create the problem, and they've got the solution. I mean, you give people lots of vaccines, all of a sudden they've got lots of disorders, and of course that's more money for big farming. So it's a revolving door of the destruction of the human body.
Well, yeah, I know, but if people would just learn to ask questions, because, you know, one lawyer was talking to, he says, like, how do you think like this? I said, simple, ask a question, go find an answer, which leads you to more questions, which leads you to more answers, right?
Well, yeah.
You didn't ask any questions, so
it opens up a floodgate of questions in your mind, man.
It's, right.
If one simple journey down one of these paths doesn't open up their brain, then I think you're lost.
It's the only way you can gain knowledge. It's the only way you can gain knowledge is by challenging and asking questions. And if you fail to do that, then you are easily manipulated, right? And,
well, the way I see it, Ron, you know, we're the caregivers of our children. It's our responsibility. A child at an early age doesn't have any choice about what is being put in his body or her body.
I don't know if
caregivers do.
I don't know if I sent this to you or not, Barry, but you're in British Columbia.
I am.
Let me just buzz this by real quick. Where the hell did it go? I get out of jail tonight.
Wow.
Yeah,
you know
Facebook
what?
Jail.
Ron, wrong? What am I doing wrong, Ron? Because I'm posting stuff that should put me in jail, but I've never been in jail yet. So what do I got to do to get in jail? Because I really want to join the club. I feel like I'm not doing a good job.
The pain. I got out of jail one day, and I was back in, I think about within 30 seconds, I was back in jail again. But this is from the City of Victoria, Office of the Mayor, and the City of Victoria is the legislature of British Columbia.
Right.
So this is written to the University of Peace from the Mayor, the Earth Charter International Secretariat, San Jose Province, Costa Rica. Now, I believe it was Morris Strong that opened the University of Peace after he stole $10 million after being appointed by his godson, Bob Ray, NDP, to restructure Ontario Hydro, i.e. privatize it. And he stole the $10 million and went down to Costa Rica, opened up the University of Peace. Anyway, June 5th, 2017, to whom it may concern, everybody in British Columbia, on behalf of the Victoria City Council, I am pleased to write this letter to confirm the City of Victoria's endorsement of the Earth Charter and the Earth Charter Cities Manifesto. We are proud to join the many cities from all over the world who have adopted the Earth Charter to act as a guide toward a more just, sustainable, and peaceful world. The Charter's key principles of global interdependence, sustainability, and peaceful coexistence are all shared values held by the City of Victoria. Our city is warm and welcoming and is committed to fostering the spirit of diversity and inclusiveness for all residents, regardless of ability, race, gender, family composition, or faith. The Charter further aligns with the goals and vision we have for our city and reflects the imagination and innovation that characterizes Victoria as a sustainable capital. The Charter's doctrine supports the City of Victoria's strategic plan by facilitating social inclusion and community wellness, demonstrating regional leadership, and taking climate action, which are all key objectives of the plan. As we move to develop our climate action reboot and climate leadership plan, we trust that the Earth Charter's helpful vision for the future can inform and inspire our decision-making process. On behalf of Council, it is with great pride that I write to you to confirm the City of Victoria's endorsement of the Earth Charter and the Earth Charter Manifesto. It is our hope that the Charter's goal of a more just, sustainable, peaceful world can be realized as we move forward together in an increasingly interconnected world. Sincerely, Lisa Helps, Victoria Mayor. So I'm going to give her a call probably Tuesday or something, because Monday, I think, is family day, at least here in Ontario. I don't know if it's family day out in BC.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I'm going to give her a call and ask her how many vaccinations she's had. because she's obviously, what do you call that when you get vaccine and you get...
autistic?
Yeah, she's obviously autistic.
Well, what you just read, Ron, is just a book out of the United Nations Manifesto for Global Government, of course.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all globalism. What you just talked about is all globalism.
Yeah.
Sustainable, you know, I mean, my God, folks.
Really,
it sounds nice, doesn't it? It sounds almost like it could bring tears to your eyes. Wow.
Or make you
gag.
Yeah. Well, it depends if you know what you're reading, no, I really encourage people to, you know, you read it. It doesn't matter what you read. I mean, anything that you read that has anything to do with political, in this country, can be taken back to the United Nations. So, you know, like, we got the new, food guide, you know, Canada's new food guide. Well, it isn't Canada's new food guide. It's the UN's food guide. Go look it up. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, where does inclusiveness come from? The UN, go look it up. You know, I mean, UN, they got their own TV program, all their videos, right?
Well, we got them now mandating who we're going to bring into Canada as refugees. I mean, come on, people, wake up.
Yeah.
You hear some of the stuff that's coming out of the United Nations and what they're telling Canada to do. You see United Nations flags flying on poles around Canada.
Oh, well, God. I think I woke up early because when I was a kid, we used to go out and collect money for UNICEF. And even before that, this is how the propaganda works. It's the programming on the TVs, right? Before we had TVs, we didn't have any of this problem. We just didn't have the problem. But, you know, I'd be sitting at the table when I was like 5-6 years old and my parents would go, you know, you didn't finish your dinner. Well, I'm hungry. I don't want it. Well, you know, there's all kinds of starving children in Africa. Huh?
That would kill for that plate of food.
What's that got to do with me here with this plate? You know, but this is the propaganda they punched out. So when we're in school, we go out early and the UNICEF boxes and run around the town like a bunch of nutty little kids and collecting money. And then you get a pat on the head if you collected the most money and stuff. And then you go out and do Halloween. And, you know, when we got thinking about it, like, who are these people we're collecting this money from, right? But you start asking questions, right? And as you get a little bit older, you go, something really stinks here, right? So why are we collecting money for the starving kids in Africa? Because the globalists took Africa over. Mm. Now, why have we got refugees in Venezuela now? Well, because the globalists have put the screws on Venezuela, right? Why are we having, you know, I mean, it's just... It's their program. And Canada, unfortunately, has been a major player in pushing these agendas since before World War One. You know, we signed on real quick to the League of Nations, and I must say America didn't. And had America signed on to the League of Nations, we would have never had World War II. Mm. Never would have happened, okay? They told Wilson, you know, you get this damn thing signed. And Wilson was running around America trying to get the Americans to sign on the League of Nations, and he was telling them that if we don't sign this, there's going to be another major war in the not-too-distant future. How the hell did he know that? Because he got told that because it was Wilson. It was Wilson that got the Fed in place. Okay. And Mandel House was his handler. And, like all the rest of these puppets, just does what he's told. And, you know, so we'd have never had a World War II. So World War II, in between World War I and World War II is when they really cranked up the public school system to take away what their parents told the kids and the grandparents told the kids, where the family used to pass things down, and don't listen to them, listen to us. And so after World War II, America signed on the United Nations, and she's been straight downhill ever since. Mm. So,
well, one only has to look at who's running the United Nations and the doctrine that's coming out of the United Nations. Now, maybe originally it was a good thing. Maybe at one point
it was never a good
thing. But I'm saying maybe I didn't say it was maybe.
No.
But really, when you look at the League of Nations and how that was formed and how that turned into the United Nations, I've looked at a lot of it. How the Bayer corporations were involved in the wars, who funds the wars, who wins, how. how many billions of dollars are Madoff worth. Mm-hmm. It's always the banksters funding both sides of a war. When you say that to people, they go, "You're nuts," but it's very, very true. But now we see the top 10 countries that are in charge of the Human Rights Commission in the United Nations are the worst 10 countries in the world for human rights violations. Uh-huh. So really, if you take that context, that statement in context, that one statement alone, is the United Nations a good organization? No, they're not. Of course they're not. But unfortunately, Ron, a lot of people still think they're a good organization. That's why getting this information and stuff we're talking about right now is really important.
Well, this is because of the, you know, the total propaganda. I can't even listen to the radio. Me and my wife are in the car. We can't listen to radio even. The garbage coming across the radio is just off the charts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the best things I ever heard about media, when we had the H1N1 flu going to be a pandemic, they were sending body bags up to the reserves and that and all this kind of nonsense. I was up early one morning. I got in the truck and turned on the radio. It was about 6 a.m. or something. And it was on CBC. I listened the whole rest of the day and never was replayed. But, you know, somebody phoned in and said, you know, don't you think the media is maybe overhyping this a little bit? And every now and again, you get that moment of truth. And the guy on CBC on the radio says, don't look at us. We only go with the script that's handed to us. And I listened all day for that to be repeated. Never happened. But this is the way it is. I mean, the propaganda machine is overwhelming people's ability to think. It's easier just to accept than actually question. You know, the other thing you get for about the UN, I got that for years. You know, the UN, what are you worried about them? They're just a useless organization, right? Don't look at them, right? Mm-hmm. Don't anybody look at the UN. They're just useless. So keep the eyes off them. But people's eyes are getting on it now, hard, finally. And we got to take back our countries. Well, they never were our countries. You know, like the American Revolution. I mean, the American founders were all kinds of lawyers and Freemasons. Canada was founded by 9 lawyers and a few media people. And our founding father, or whatever you call him, the
father. John A. MacDonald.
Yeah, he was a lawyer and a Freemason. You know, these were never our countries, ever.
No, you're absolutely right.
If you study the legal system and then you study Roman slave law, you will see they're identical. Mm. Absolutely 100% identical.
The illusion of freedom.
Under the illusion of freedom. And but slavery is against the law, so they got us to consent to it.
It was called tax.
Well, no, but I mean, if you look, because we live our lives as corporate entities, right? You can't vote. You vote as a proxy. Okay. And when you look up, I've probably said that on the show before, but when you look up that word, plagiarism in etymology, it spells it all out so clearly. It's nuts. It has the word seduce in it. And that's what they did. Shortly after we were born, somebody shows up, with a registration form and tells our mothers that if they register the child, they will get benefits, baby bonus, and they can go to school, which they can't do if they don't register. You have to go to the hospital. These are all good things that you get when you register your child. But they didn't say, okay, because in plagiarism, it says the theft of a child, or a slave. And it's the stealing of the name. So what they did was you sign, they cracked the name up into the all caps, which is what they created. Okay. In the legal system, anybody has authority over what they create. They didn't create the child. Okay. So they have no authority over that child whatsoever. You get your mother to register, plagiarize the name, and turn that into a corporate entity. Which means that we are assets of the corporation. Okay. They borrow against our labor, right? One of the reasons that we're being flooded with immigrants besides, the fact they have to get rid of the Christian faith, because I always said there's only two things holding this up, and that's the American Constitution and the Christian faith. Those are the two things that got to get disappeared, because the Vatican is satanic, and Martin Luther kicked the shit out of Rome back in the 1500s with the Reformation, and called Rome and the Vatican out for what the hell it was. And he was a Catholic. He was a dedicated monk till he got to Rome and saw what the hell was going on in Rome and called it out. And so when our forefathers, the first people that landed here, there was three things they did not want in their communities. They didn't want Catholics, they didn't want lawyers, and they didn't want Jews. The foxes, the weasels, and the snakes. And over time, they've taken over the house again. And that's why we find ourselves where we are. Okay. We're the legal system is a complete and total fraud.
Oh man. SNC Lavalin's an example of that, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah. I mean, woe on you lawyers. Oh my God. Right? When I read that the American Revolution was in trouble until a Jew stepped forward to fund it, I'm going, oh man. And you look at all of the revolutions, the three main revolutions, the French Revolution, which is where the two-party system was born out of the French Revolution as a divide-and-conquer tactic, which has worked perfectly up till now. And we all know that a divided family can't survive, and exactly, a divided country can't survive. I mean, if you're half of your family's bitching at you about this and the other half's bitching about you that, you're not going to hang together very long. And it's the same thing with our political system, which was a perfected divide and conquer tactic out of that revolution. So the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and all working towards the same thing. So that's why I really hate the yellow vest movement. I can't stand it. Wake up, people. I saw a thing last night on Facebook. There's some yellow vesters. I've seen this guy a bunch of times. I can't remember his name. Is Rody or Roddy or something.
Rudy?
Rudy.
What a joke that guy is.
Who are these people? And he's talking about, we need to start a party because, we all know what we want, and that's direct democracy. Well, what is the United Nations pushing? Direct democracy. It's sad. It's so sad.
It's sad that people actually listen to him.
Exactly. He's just like last night they said, they're calling us white supremacists and racist, and we don't like immigrants and all this kind of stuff. And we're not racist, and we like immigrants, and all this stuff. And then you go, well, then what are you talking about? And then this guy, I don't know if you know this guy or not. I didn't know. I had to track him down last night because he freaked me out because he came on that show, and I thought, well, there's me, right?
Some guy, about Gary Gilbert?
No, Jesse James or something.
Jesse James, okay.
I mean, he just came in and they were talking about, we got to get rid of Trudeau and that. And he just came in and say, shut up, go back in history, please. Find one party in this country that ever did anything for the people. Okay. Got to get rid of them. We got to get rid of the party system. As long as the party system exists, we're going downhill.
Yeah, it's getting people to understand that, Ron. That's a really, really hard concept for people to grasp. Unless they've done some research like you have or other people have or myself, it is a hard concept to grasp because they've been indoctrinated all their life to believe that, so you got the liberals over here, they're not doing good. We'll get the PCs in, they'll fix it to get the PCs in, and they screw up and the liberals are gonna fix it. It's the same story over and over and over again.
All you have to do is look at the house. You've got this group of people on this side of the house and this group of people on that side of the house. This group of people's in power. This group of people's bitching at that group of people that's in power. So, okay, now we're pissed off. So now we're going to take that group of people that was in power and we're going to put them on the other side. And we're going to put the people who are on the other side on the power side. Now those two groups bitch and complain to each other for 4 years. And then down the road, 4 or 8 years later, we switch it out again. Where are we going? Nowhere. right?
But it's democracy, you know, Ron. Every 4 years for 9 hours, we get to a democracy, okay?
Well, democracy, I may have said this on the show before, too, but it blew me away. I just loved etymology because nobody understands any of the words. But I looked up devil. And when I went to the root of the word devil, in the words in the root of devil, I found the word parliament. And as you went down that that thing about the devil, there was the word demon in there. So when you look up the word, the root of the word demon, and you look at that list of the words, you find the word democracy. So
imagine that.
Parliament, democracy don't seem like they're a very good situation here. So, as I said, I actually got to say that on a mainstream radio station when I ran in provincial election in 2007, you know, and I just explained it to the host that we got to ditch the party system, and she's going, well, what we replace it with? Well, instead of two opposing sides, we get rid of that and we put a round table in there. Okay. Now we can keep the same districts, right? They're already sawed up. We can keep them, but, we don't pick our representative. The party picks the representative that you're voting for, which is stupid because it's their people, not our people. So you keep the district. So you're in Terrace. So your job in Terrace is to, find the best man or woman, in your district that you feel confident can bring, you know, the best of what you have to offer to the table. Now, when you do that, you have resources in that in Terrace, and maybe we have manufacturing facilities south of you or in a different province, and we can use your resources to build what we need to manufacture. Okay. So you bring it together. Okay. And you make it a one unit deal so that we can get the best out of each other and out of our resource base and our manufacturing base, which we don't have anymore, nor does the Americans have anymore, stolen from us. Mm-hmm. So we don't make anything here. We don't grow anything here. It's quite pathetic for a country this rich. And then it's the people running the show with the simple deal. It's like if you hired somebody, to work for you and they turned out they're not working out well, you fire them. Now, this election thing, waiting 4 years to change something out is just ridiculous. So, you know, it's up to your district to keep an eye on who you put in there. And if they look like they're starting to get corrupted or something, then you have the absolute ability to call them back in, have a chat with them. Exactly. We don't like what you're promoting here or this or that or the other thing. This is what we want you to do because you're our employee. And if you refuse to do it, well, you're out of work, right?
It's called recall legislation, and it should be part of every party's manual.
Well, it's not because it might work for the people.
You
can't have that because the political system doesn't represent the people. So why would they give you a recall? That would be stupid. You know, we pick the party member, not you. You can't recall them. We could recall them, but we don't intend to, because they're working for us, who is working for them. So, I mean, when you look at it, Barry, I mean, you know, you're like, how far north are you of British Columbia, of Vancouver? What, about 400 miles?
600
miles, right?
From Vancouver. I think it is.
And the vastness of British Columbia is, and the resources in British Columbia, just that alone could feed and clothe everybody in this country.
Absolutely, Ron. We should all be getting a check every month from the government based on the resources in this country.
Absolutely.
But of course, I know.
Absolutely.
And if a fraction of what is spent on military every year was spent on feeding the people in this world, there wouldn't be a starving person in the world.
The idea that there's anybody that's homeless in this country should irritate the hell out of everybody.
70 Canadians died on the streets in Toronto. That's the report I read in a month.
Really?
Yeah, 70 homeless people. Yet you have the government bringing illegals into our country and putting them in 4-star hotels, treating them with absolute just, you are the best thing that's ever happened to this country in our life. These people have never contributed a penny. They are breaking our laws coming in here, and the government is just giving them a giant golden spoon. Yeah. What the heck is going on that? We have Canadians on the streets sleeping and dying. We have our veterans in court fighting for dollars out of the government, yet our government's got billions of dollars to send to third world and, of course, a lot of countries that are supporting Islamic radicals.
So well, this is the
if
problem.
If you can't see the agenda, then you really have your eyes closed, guys.
Yeah, it's bad when people think that the government actually represents them, and you as a veteran have to go and beg and crawl and you know, fight and all this kind of stuff for a dollar. It makes no sense. I mean,
well, yeah, it's like Trudeau's statement. You're asking us for more than we can give. I beg your pardon. These people give their lives for this country, and the government is telling us that they're asking for more than we can give, but they're more than happy to cut $50 million checks to Venezuela or $50 million checks to the United Nations or the Clinton Foundation or $100 million there or $1 billion over there.
Well, we just cut a check. We just cut a check for $300 or $400 million at a G7 meeting. Meeting,
I think it was. What was it, that one?
It was education for girls.
Yeah, yeah.
But not,
yeah.
Not here.
Female
not
education here. In third world countries.
Yeah. And, yeah. This has been going on so long. Morris Strong, who started CETA, the Canadian International Agency or whatever, during the Trudeau years, Daddy Trudeau, I wish everybody in Canada would read that book by Alain Dewar, Green Agenda? Mm. No, Cloak of Green. Now, she followed Maurice Strong and Elizabeth May and David Suzuki around for 4 years, I think, leading up to and culminating at Rio 92. And she absolutely pulls the lid off of it. I mean, she's got the documents. She's got the money getting fed out of this country way back then. And it's never stopped. And people just don't seem to be able to connect anything together. We are being bankrupted on purpose because they want to bring in that guaranteed income.
Right.
They want you to be in such a state that you'll run to the government and accept this guaranteed basic income, which keeps everybody poor and gives you the basics, very, very basics. Meanwhile, the globalists take over all of our resources and control our lives. Well, why the hell would we put up with that? You know, when I looked at I sometimes drop countries into things and that, but you know, when I picked up California and brought it over here and dropped it into the district of Kenora, which is an electoral district, in Kenora, Ontario, and dropped California in there, it just fit nice and snug. There's 40 million people in California. There's 36 million people in Canada. And I've got the entire population of California and the landmass of California sitting in one electoral district in Ontario. This is how huge this country is. Now, California, except for along the coastline, is basically empty. So when you put this stuff into perspective, and you can take the country of Japan, which has well over 100 million people in it, and drop it into Kenora, and there's lots of room left over. So we are, you know, the richest country in the world. Resources to capita, right? We're the second largest country on the planet, and we have hunger and homelessness and bad wages, and we don't manufacture anything, and holy crap. We should be so disgusted with ourselves as Canadians. You know, we should be disgusted. Until we get disgusted, we're not going to change anything. You know,
Ron, it comes down to education, and most people just really don't get it. They live in their little bubble. They know there's something nefarious going on in the world, but they can still go to the grocery store. They can still flick the light switch on at home, and they can still go get food at the grocery store. So I see it all the time. I get into conversations with people about things that really should be bothering them, you know, mm-hmm. like real simple facts about our government. And it's like, you know, I don't have time for that. I don't want to hear this. You know, somebody else, it's almost like an attitude. We're such an apathetic society that, you know, somebody else is going to look after this problem or the government's going to look after this problem. And I still see it all through society. What's it going to take to wake them up, Ron?
I've been at this for so long, it's nuts. I've been at this for at least 40 years. And it just irritates the hell out of me. I mean, 40 years ago when I was telling people this was coming, didn't want to hear about it. You know, they used to tell me, you know, Canada's the best country in the world. If you don't like it, piss off and leave. Right. And I'm going like, are you blind? And, but when I was, we had a marketing outfit out in Vancouver in the '70s when I was in my 20s and, I would run into Americans, we're doing all PR work every now and again, I run into an American that moved up to Canada because they thought they were going to get better health care, didn't have to pay the premiums, and they thought it was safer. And they kept asking. Every time I got talking to an American, they'd say, "Oh, what part of the States are you from?" I said, "I'm not American." and they would look at me and go, "Well, you can't be Canadian." And I go, "I am." And they go, "Well, you got way too much jam to be a Canadian. I mean, we're not being rude or not. Canadians are beautiful people, but they're so freaking docile."
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And this is way back in the '70s. So
a Canadian with balls. What the hell's going on here?
I've been bleeding for Canada since I was earlier, you know, since I was a young guy. I love this country, and it just tears me up to see how docile people are, and what we've got, and where they're trying to take us to. It breaks me up. You know, there's days you just say, like, you know, I've had lots of opportunities. I've been offered to jump to the other side more than a few times, and I can't go there, right? I could have been filthy rich a long time ago, but instead I'm poor. You know, whether you die rich or die poor, it doesn't matter. You're dead anyways, right? It doesn't really matter.
Is wealth the measure of a man? No, it's not, Ron.
No, it's not.
It's what you believe in, what you stand for. And if that means you're not going to be a wealthy man, well, who cares? Because you're not going to be able to take it with you. But no. What is important right now is we stand up for what we believe in. And, you know, I'm not a wealthy man. I don't want for money. Money is just to me, it's a necessary tool, unfortunately, but it is the root of all evil. And I see what greed does to people and how it's me, 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 and get ahead, step on your neighbor's head.
Yeah.
It's just that attitude now permeates our society. But you go back a short time in history, it wasn't like that. So all these different things that have happened to our society have been brought in incrementally. I see really in the last 30, 40 years, Ron, where they've really ramped up the agenda. But like you said, this has been going on for a long, long time.
Well,
but now we see it right in our face. There's no excuse for not seeing what's coming to Canada if you want to spend a couple hours of doing some research.
Well,
and I say to people that can't do that, shame on you.
I have to say a couple of things. I know I talk to young people whenever I can, and because we got to get them on side somehow. And, you know, 10 years ago, I asked kids, you know, they believe in global warming and what the teachers are saying, and they were all seemingly believing everything. And now when I'm talking to kids in grade 9, 10, and I asked a bunch of them what percentage of what the teachers tell you to believe. And I had about, I don't know, 10 or 12 grade 9ers, I think, and they're all kind of looking at each other, and they kind of went, maybe 50%. You know, so they're asking questions of themselves, you know, but I'm finding finally, I never thought it would ever happen, but finally, I think people are generally starting to ask questions, not enough yet, but, you know, like, when somebody, you know, says that they're getting it now, a lot of people get very fearful, right? Once they've been doing some looking around and some research and listen to people like yourself, their eyes open and they can see, and it scares the hell out of them, right?
Well, they just want to go back to sleep. I don't want to hear about any of this.
Well,
and I see that attitude. I do, Ron. I mean, a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people people about our government, and everybody will come out and say, yeah, Trudeau, he's a bastard, and he's just destroying this country. Yeah, but what are you doing about it, you know?
He doesn't matter. He ain't got nothing to do with anything.
He's just a puppet.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people, I'll post stuff, and I'll see, the little whatever you call them, icons or whatever, with tears, right? And I go, you know, there's no need for tears, right? We're going to win this thing, okay?
Well, I do see young people starting, you know, on the flip side of what we're talking about, Ron, I do actually start to see young people now really paying attention. A couple weeks ago, I got into conversation with a couple guys that I think were about 19, 20 years old. Uh-huh. It was just a casual conversation. But when we brought up the subject of government, it actually amazed me at how much they were actually informed, but that they actually starting to pay attention.
Well,
we need the millennials on board, man.
When I ran in the last election here last year, and I don't do this because I want to be elected. I do it because I'm just trying to get a pulse of where the attitudes of people are. And I was quite surprised. I met a young girl that was 16 at the very last all candidates we did. And we went downstairs afterwards, and she pulled me aside and she said, I need to talk to you. She says, you pissed a lot of people off upstairs. And I said, well, yeah, but they're brain dead. Right. And she said, but I get what you're saying. Right. And she's only 16. And I said, you understand this? Oh, yeah. And she started rattling this stuff off. And she must well go get her own radio show. Right. I mean, she knows this stuff inside, outside, upside down, backwards. And when we did the thing at the high school, I looked at the student body. Most of it was brain dead, but there was a few students that come up after who absolutely tuned in. Right. Absolutely tuned in. So what I keep telling them, what I keep telling people that come to my Facebook and that, I said, don't get down, right? Okay. Don't get down. When you finally realize what the hell's actually coming at us, don't get down. Okay. Get strong. And the best thing we can do is keep teaching, talking, and shining the light. That's it. Right. At this particular point in time.
That's all we can do, Ron.
And then we will raise the awareness. Okay. You got to undo this, this indoctrination has been going on for centuries. So we have to undo it, and it can be undone. I have deprogrammed some people who were completely dedicated to the renewable energy stuff and that, and it's freaky because their eyes actually get really bright when they get it. Say no, this is what we need to do. And when you finally get them through it all, and it's like the hypnotist, right? Because when you read these newspaper articles, it's always science suggests. Well, if you look up the word suggest, it's connected to hypnotize. They're not telling you anything. They're suggesting stuff to you, right? Expert suggests. And it's like these people have been hypnotized. And our job is to say, you're not a chicken anymore. You don't have to run around in front of the audience anymore. We hypnotized you, thought you were a chicken. You're not a chicken, right? Get your shit together. It's a lot of work, but we'll get it, You're a young man yet,
Yeah, I'm only 64. You're a little bit behind me.
I'm 64.
Are you really 64? I thought you were younger than I am.
No.
Oh, you got that young voice.
But I mean, we do whatever that we can do till we can't do anymore. And my attitude to people say, well, I'm old now. I said, I don't give a damn if you're a 900. You're breathing. Okay. You got no excuse. Step up to the plate.
Exactly.
So.
And this is the time that we have to step up, Ron, because we see this agenda really being pushed hard. And, we have a window of opportunity right now to stop this. I honestly believe that window will close in the near future if we don't take advantage of it.
Well, what people don't seem to understand is it's actually a positive that they're pushing this hard now.
Well,
because they suckered us through this really slow incrementalism and nobody noticed. Now they're coming hard, and even the dumbest of dumbest are starting to notice. So I almost thank the globalists for pushing this hard at this time. this is a real opportunity because it's getting people to ask questions and getting them to understand. So what the hell's going on here, right? Well, so this is our time.
This last affair with the government is, whether it goes anywhere or not, I don't think it will because of the power of the Prime Minister's office, but SSNC leveling. This alone should be enough to bring a government down. When this really comes to light, we'll see where it goes. But the one good thing about it, Ron, is it's got a lot of people asking questions. The fact that I understand that, you know, whether it goes anywhere or not, that remains to be seen. Yeah, but it has got a lot of people talking. And
well, as long as it gets them talking, but, you know, they're mainly talking about, you know, we got to get Trudeau out of here. That's kind of what that thing is really about.
We'll get Sheer in there. He'll save us all.
Really? Really, Willie? Excellent. Excellent. When I saw a thing on Sheer, I saw a video on Sheer on some TV program that they were talking to him, and it appears that he is an expert on the cartoon TV show The Simpsons. He's an absolute expert on it. So, you know, seeing as our lives look like it's a cartoon show right now, maybe it's a good idea to have Sheer on.
Say, Ron, Barry.
Yes, sir.
Can I explain what an expert is before the break? No, you're on.
Yeah, please do.
Expert. Well, break the word down. X is former, correct?
Uh-huh.
Spurt. Well, that's just a drip under pressure.
That's exactly right. That's why I tell people you don't know how to read a newspaper, right? You if you get the key words, which are expert and suggest, and a few other words, then there's no legitimacy to what you just read.
And if people are talking behind your back, just fart.
Are you ready for that break, Barry?
Yeah, we're down to the last minute. Thanks, Ron, for coming in. But always a good time.
Thanks for doing what you guys do, right,
hey, Steve? I love your Ron. I really love your depth of knowledge, and the audience really enjoyed listening to you. So we'll get you back in real soon again, bud. Thanks for joining us today.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Hey, plug your show real quick before you go, Ron.
Rock the Boat Radio. I'm on Revolution Radio Sundays at noon Eastern Time. And my Facebook is Rock the Boat Radio Facebook, of which I get out of jail tonight, which will be nice.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks, Ron.
Okay, always take care, guys.
Okay. Well, welcome back to the second hour, not quite an hour, of the Big Puzzle Guys on People's Internet Radio. We are a viewer-funded station, so if you like what we're doing here, please hit the donate button. Been trying to get Mike Treherne in because we wanted to talk about some geological events, but we're having a bit of a problem. On short notice, I rang Gary Gilbert's number, and he was gracious enough to join me and carry on a conversation, try to kill this last hour. How you doing, Gary? And thanks for dropping in on short notice. Ambushed you again.
Yeah, I'm actually doing okay, but can I actually get right back to you in 2 minutes? I apologize. I just have to go to the loo.
I've taken, and I am ashamed to say.
Oh, Barry. Barry, my.
I can't help it. It's okay with you. I gotta go. I'll be right back. I apologize.
Okay. Is Mike with us?
I don't know. I thought somebody else was in there.
So did I.
Gary Gilbert just left. Well, hopefully he comes back.
Well, we gotta get rid of this Skype, man. We gotta start using another platform, Steve, because it doesn't matter where you go. Everybody seems to be having problems with it.
Yeah.
I think it's just a coincidence.
No,
I got a news flash for you.
It's all by design. That's for sure.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Nobody had ever
all social medias are under attack.
Nobody had any sort of an issue with Skype until Microsoft bought them.
Well, you know what? There's multiple
shows, I don't call them by their
live streams on Facebook now that are being froze. And I've seen it 3 times in the last 5 days. We're right in the middle of a good show, and all of a sudden Zuckerberg freezes the show, and that's it. We can't continue on.
They got
and
sucked.
And we're seeing that more and more all the time, guys. So
they got sucked.
It's really, really time to stand up against this crap.
That's called they got sucked.
Yeah, we're getting zucked everywhere because it's happening, and people don't think it's happening. It's you really got to take a look at what's going on with the silence of social media. And it's just going to get worse here, Steve, if we don't put a stop to it. Shows we're doing right now,
sure it is.
In the near future, might not be possible.
They want capitulation, and they want adulation. That's all they want.
It's just carrying right into what we're talking about in the first hour, Steve.
They want you
all
to
ties together. Everything that we talk about.
They want you to shut up and put them. Want you to shut up and put them on a pedestal. That's all they want.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's that many dumb people in the world. I think there's enough smart people in the world here that we're going to see it and put a stop to this.
I don't know.
I don't know some days either. I got to be optimistic. I don't want to be totally pessimistic about what I see, because a lot of stuff I do see, I ask myself every day if we're going to be able to put a stop to this.
Uh-huh.
But then I've got to have faith in the human being, man. I do.
Yeah.
That you know, is the human race as a race will be able to identify the enemy, truly identify the enemy and stand up against it before it's too late. Because I honestly believe that this window is going to close in the near future.
I'm certain it will.
It's not going to be able to, we won't be able to open it up again, Steve.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to. There was a lot of people in the group, but they're not in the group anymore. They were into Linux, and I just don't get the stuff. I just don't get it. You know, you can try to pound it into my head, and it's like trying to speak four different languages at once, because Linux is a language. It's a foreign language to me, but. They're not able to manipulate and control Linux like they do Windows and Apple.
I have been told by a few people to get involved with Linux, but it's a little bit more complicated than Skype. Kevin Gallagher does a show called Time Out, switched to Linux about 2 years ago.
Right.
And I was actually having a conversation with him a couple of days about it. And he says it's a little bit more complicated and you're going to have to do a little bit of studying. But once you get the system working, it's
a little
better
bit.
Than the platform.
You got to do a lot of studying, my friend.
Yeah. That's what I've been told. And for a guy like me, that's kind of a scary proposition.
Well,
it really is.
That's what I started out in.
I have a hard time turning my computer on, Steve. You know that.
That's what I started out off in college. I wanted to be in the IT field. And I got 2 weeks into it, and I got out of it real quickly. I changed my major, let's put it that way.
Well, some of it's just not our cup of tea. You know, I've always been computer illiterate. I'm forcing myself to learn things on the computer. I get lost in here so easy. But I'm getting a little better as I get older. I'm starting to learn to do a few things that I couldn't do before. But this Linux system, although it sounds really good, sounds very complicated to me. So I don't know if I'd be able to handle something like that. Maybe somebody come forward and give me a hand or something like that. Somebody that really knows what they're doing. Anybody out there that really knows what they're doing, want to help me set up Linux, I'd take the help.
Setting it up? Yeah, somebody
can
do that for you.
Put up with me, because, you know, I really pay on your patience, man.
It'd probably take weeks and weeks and weeks just to train you how to work it.
Have you actually looked into the system yourself, Steve?
Yes, I have. I've got it on a laptop, and it's gibberish to me. I don't know what the hell it is.
So you're not the guy to talk to, then?
No. I've got a laptop with
I don't talk to you either.
Did we get Harry back here?
We did.
How are you doing? Did you take care of your problem?
I'm on the
show. We don't want you squirming.
Well, it probably would have been a mess, and it wouldn't have been good. Well, for me, anyways. I'm on my cell phone on data rather than Wi-Fi on the laptop because, well, I already told you, it's kind of having seizures, so I've only got a minute. But wow. I wanted to come say hello and join the conversation for as long as I could anyways.
Huh. Well, you got a virus in your computer?
I'm not sure.
Because I know I've got a couple in mind now, man, and I'm running a couple good programs. One really good program, man, is constantly finding viruses that are getting into my computer. My computer's not working the way it should. And me being a computer dummy, it's a real problem when this thing starts acting up. So
we're just attacking it sort of tight, so I'm not sure.
So listen, tell people a little bit about this conversation you're going to have with this online Canadian. Is that still going to go ahead tonight? I heard somebody chattering it is going to go ahead, that this is being set up somehow. Have you heard any more about this? And there's a lot of people who want to hear this get called out. Maybe you can bring people up to date on what's going on with this situation in Canada, exactly what it means to people.
Okay, here's a summarization as best I can. A couple months ago, it was great because all the more new people is what it's going to take. So he came out, but he came out with a different direction, a direction of his own that was already repeatedly tried by several other people. So when we approached him, we were like, Rudy, you know, Mr. Rudy Bush, you're on the right path. It's awesome. I'm glad that you're, you know, paying attention, you're getting involved and everything else.
But you need to dig a little deeper, because the results that you're claiming is the end result or end game results are incorrect. And the documentation is there to show that. So when I started asking, or when I started talking about it, he was asking for more information, I mentioned one of the original documents that that whole concept was based on, the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta is the only document in the history of mankind that has actually allowed we the people to get control back over our government, at that time the king. Now, of course, over history that was kind of by the Pope, but the point is that was where this whole direction was being taken from. We liked that because it was kind of showing him to not be as informed as he thought. Well, the sad part was he had no idea what the Magna Carta was. So my question was, if you claim to have this answer and you don't have the basics of the information, how can you claim this position of leadership? Which, of course, had a very big issue. As time went on, he just absolutely blocked me, and that's his choice, that's his right, and carried on. Well, he keeps trying to hijack people's efforts, and that was where I took a little bit of more interest and more of an offense of it. And when we went down and listened to him and followed that path, for instance, there was a big tantrum going on in Canada. He tried to take ownership of that. They shut him down, and he threw a tantrum, and he started criticizing him. When other people approached Rudy, he would block them. And he started making a series of videos, making blatant lies and false claims against those people that were coming against them. So I asked him, and said, look, Rudy, have a debate with me live. You and me, on camera, on live stream, so that way you can't twist the word to make lies after the fact, and discuss your allegations. Well, he refused to even answer or acknowledge that I made the challenge. So other people went to him and said, Rudy, unblock Gary, and then engage with him on a debate. And he said, no, that's just a waste of time. Well, days later, him and his friend decide to post a video declaring this big, great debate amongst him, myself, and three or four others. The problem was they didn't come and let us know that they were agreeing to a debate. And they didn't unblock us, so we can't participate in this debate. So the whole concept was to allow him to rant on and say, well, I invited them, and they just don't show up, and blah, blah, blah. Well, we can't participate in a debate that we're not invited to, that we're blocked from. So we decided we're going to go ahead and simply, you know, have a debate anyway, invite him to come on and show with his own actions exactly the kind of person he is, a liar, a fraud, and a coward. It sounds petty to some, but if you understood the damage that he's doing and the libelous content that he's throwing out there, then you'd understand. And want. It's important that we stand people that are like that, that do damage to the scene, to the community, because that provides more ammunition for those that are critical of it when you start stealing money from people and all these kinds of things.
Yeah, way too much energy being given to the guy. And of course, people that are listening to a lot of people have never even heard of this and why we're bringing this up, but it's because of the fact that he is doing damage to this movement in ways that he doesn't understand. And I'm glad to see him get called out, and I don't want to give him too much of my time, because really I don't really have too much time for people like that. But it's good to get the information out there and let people know what's going on and how we see this going on.
The idea behind this is just to simply have bring it to a head and let it get done, and then we can move on and just kind of just focus, because he doesn't need a kind of oxygen in books. You know, it just needs to be said and then moved on.
Yeah, Mike Tahern says he's on Skype here now, guys, but telling him to go green. Maybe you could try calling him again there, Steve. He says he's on Skype.
He needs to make himself show as available.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him. Go green. Make yourself available.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing him right now, and he's still yellow on Skype. But
see him there.
Huh?
I see him there. He's there in the call. He's just not understanding that he's got to go up to the top and actually click join call.
Oh, maybe he'll figure it out eventually. don't you love modern technology, man? But we wanted to talk a little bit. I mean, it's old news, but it's new news. But there is a lot of pretty crazy reports coming out around the Yellowstone area right now that we wanted to touch on lately. I know that nobody knows when the water report's coming out now, that we should be paying a little bit more attention to it. I don't know if you do, Gary, and I know there's nothing we can do about it. But it's something I like talking about, because it is something that people should be aware of a potential coming in the very near future. And according to a few of the people that are talking, it's really kind of getting kind of crazy right now. So keep an eye on it. And Mike isn't able to get in yet, guys. I don't know what the heck's going on with that. Anyways, we're talking about social censuses a little bit. Is there anything you want to bring up to people, some of the things going on over there, or some of the things in the wings? I know there's things you can't talk about, but is there anything you'd like to talk about?
Let's see. How can we simple?
I'm not even to put you on the spot there.
Yeah, no. Basically, Synthesis Social is a platform that is based off of the Facebook concept, but it's decentralized in the fact that we don't sell the data, we don't scrape the data. Your privacy is protected. Your censorship is protected, or there is no censorship, so your free speech is protected. Inside of it, there's a lot of things coming that really allow for the individual end user to actually create content that is theirs and, you know, share whatever it is, from your meal from breakfast to something of an educational nature. And we're doing it around the blockchain concept, so it actually is secure and private. There's a lot of things we're going to be introducing over the next little while that will actually be sort of revolutionary when it comes to social media. And, you know, it's kind of exciting. It's just a lot of work getting it all done, of course. For now, it's just a good Facebook alternative that allows you to really engage with people and do exactly what you're basically doing now, you know.
And safe to say you're not going to get zooped over there?
Well, yeah, I'd say it's pretty safe. There's no Facebook jail. You don't run algorithms like Facebook does. That's one of the things that people run into. They don't understand when it comes to censorship that it's not so much that there's some little guy sitting behind the computer saying, oh, I didn't like what he said there, and then deleting you and blocking you or putting you in jail. It's an algorithm set up, and in the case of Facebook, several algorithms that are designed to direct the flow of things in a specific pattern or a specific way that's usually reflective from the advertisers. It's a misnomer that Zuckerberg's a leftist or a Democrat, or those are the reasons why the censorship happens. It's nothing to do with that. Zuckerberg is actually a hardcore, pure, ultra a capitalist. So when Barry Prince decides to put something on Facebook about, say, oh, we need to, I don't know, talk about things like the volcanoes in Yellowstone, but that interferes with a message from one of the high-paying advertisers. You know, they're giving Zuckerberg, or they're giving Facebook, rather, not Zuckerberg directly, but Facebook, you know, $100 million a year in advertising. And they say, well, I don't like that Barry Prince and what he's saying. You know, Zuckerberg's now left with a choice. Well, $100 million or Barry Prince? Well, who the heck's Barry Prince? You know what I mean? So ultimately, they will always choose that thing that they worship the most, that almighty. And
the almighty dollar.
That's what motivates them. So from that concept, that's where his censorship is stemming from. The algorithm's based off the advertising dollar. So because of that, that's the model that he uses to build his empire, right? In our case, we don't cater to those advertisers. We don't take that advertising dollar, which means they don't have access to the information and the user data to actually scrape and, you know, do their thing. Now, this puts us at a bit of a disadvantage when it comes to the whole corporate model, but we don't really run like a corporate model, like a typical business or a typical corporate venture. We operate more as an NGO than anything else, I guess. But in the end, we just simply don't engage in the same practices that they typically do to, you know, manipulate the information and stop it from getting through to the viewers or the end users or whatever the case may be.
Well, we are talking to an audience overseas. There's an international edition of Synthesis available.
Synthesissocial.com.
Okay. I know that originally it was set up for Canada, but now we have a Synthesis USA edition, and apparently there's an international edition that people can go to, is what I'm asking.
Yes. The global platform is up and running.
Okay. Well, people can go have a look at it. It's pretty cool. It looks like you're looking at a Facebook screen with a different name, and the people that are behind this believe in free speech, as far as I'm concerned. I know that you've got a couple other people involved lately, and I see it going forward, Gary, so keep up the good work, man. Much needed at this particular time, because we see the attack on free speech in Canada. We see the censorship coming left, right, and center, and it's only going to get better, so we need an alternative. And I say that, you know, I'm still using the Facebook. I still use Facebook because it's convenient. And I keep telling myself I got to get a little bit more over there, and I'm trying to do that now. But it's difficult to get away from something that you've been using for so long that it's got all your connections and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to say that I should be getting a little bit more involved over there.
It's not necessarily supposed to be a Facebook replacement. I mean, it can be, but it wasn't meant to do that as much as be an enhancement to your social direction. So you can use it in conjunction with Facebook, or you can use it on its own. So in the end, it's there and ready and rolling when that increased censorship comes down the pike.
Huh. Is Ron Stevens back in the room here?
I'm not sure.
Well, I see him there.
I just saw something pop up on my screen. I didn't know what was going on, so I thought I'll listen to the show.
Well, have you ever met Gary Gilbert, Ron?
I don't think so.
Well, there's a gentleman I'd like to introduce you to. Gary, meet Ron Stevens. Ron does a show called Rock the Boat Radio, and I've had the pleasure of having him on. I don't know how many shows we've done in the last 5 years, Ron. Too many counting fingers in my toes, so... pleased to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. I do follow you on Facebook, actually. I apologize. I do have to go. My dad is out, so I have to cut this short. But I would definitely love to speak with you again sometime and actually get to know you.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. That'd be great.
I'm glad you bought back in, Ron, because we're having a trouble getting Mike to turn in here. So maybe we could kill the last 27 minutes here before.
Well, whatever.
2 hours are up. Gary's got to step out.
Good evening. Bye, Stephen. Bye, Ron. And see you later, Barry.
Take care. Okay.
A little bit of a mixed up show here today, guys.
Well, Mike is the kind of guy, Ron, that really, he spends a lot of his time, of course, going down the rabbit holes in our government and blah, 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 but he spends a lot of time studying and watching geological and events happening around our planet that we don't want to talk about a lot, but we like to bring it to people's attention. Some of the things that are going on in our environment, along with our species and blah, blah, blah. Reports I'm reading every day about mass extinction events. Things that are really going to have an impact on our future in the very, very near future that people really need to talk about. Because, really, Ron, when it comes down to it, you know, nations are going to rise and nations are going to fall. Governments are going to change. But if we don't have a planet to live on, then all this means nothing, really. And what's going on in my planet right now alarms me greatly, man, greatly.
Does it?
Well, you know, unless it's all bullshit, Ron, there's stuff going on right now that, as far as I can make out now, how much of it is actually truth? It's really sometimes hard to get to the bottom of reports. I try and vet reports. I try and go back and find out where the information is coming from and if those sources are reputable sources. And a lot of stuff I'm reading comes from reputable sources or so-called reputable sources. Whether it's all an illusion, I don't have those answers. But I go from hands-on and what I'm actually hearing from people living on the coastal areas of British Columbia and people that are living on the coastal areas of Oregon State and Washington State and what they're telling. And what I'm hearing about reports on the coast of California, that are experiencing. Well, you know, the tide pools, buddy. You go take a look at the low tide pools. Even in Prince Rupert now, we're fairly pristine up here in the north coast of British Columbia. We're on the Pacific Ocean, of course, but we're still considered to be a pristine area as far as pollution goes. You know, California's got multiple problems with the water down there and the ocean and the die-off. It's not bullshit. It's documented now that this is actually happening. Up here, we're still seeing a fairly abundant life, but we see that changing. And I go to the low tide pools now, Ron, and that tide pool should be full of all kinds of little creatures and snails and spiders that I see all the time in there, and I don't see them anymore. And it's just not one or two spots. I went there last year in July. I went to three different tide pools, and I couldn't find I found a little bit of life in one, not completely not there, but very, very small amounts compared to what I remember 15, 20 years ago. So to say that there's something not going on in the ocean, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand.
Well, you know, you got to understand that the people that's really control the environmental movement, okay, they're doing their best to damage everything they can damage. The other thing that we have to deal with is that, you know, you have to understand the deep ocean currents. And they're like the climate up here, but they have a climate down there. And, you know, way back when in the early 20s, I think it was late 1800s, early up to the early 20s, they couldn't find the fish. They were completely confused, like where the hell the fish go. And when they went and took their deep ocean gauges and that, and found out that the deep currents it's supremely warmed up, and everything in the ocean lives at certain temperature degrees, and they couldn't find the fish, but the fish had moved to their particular climate or temperature. And, it was the same thing, the big cod fishery freakout, back when was it in the '80s or whenever the hell it was, on the East Coast. That the cod were all fished out. They weren't fished out. They just moved. The same thing as David Suzuki was freaking out about, you know, oh, we killed the salmon run. And then, maybe, I don't know, it was 5-10 years later, I had, one of the largest salmon runs ever up the Fraser River. You know, they're saying, oh, it's all killed off. We killed it all off. And here it is. So there is the deep ocean current. I mean, if you read, I have the documents on my old blog, Canadian Truth. If you just kick in, the sea around us, there's all kinds of documents from back when they lost the fish. They didn't know what the hell was going on. So there's all kinds of things going on, but I mean the people who are screwing with their environment, like setting the bush in BC on fire and setting the bush in Alberta on fire and in California and all the rest of this nonsense, this is natural. That isn't natural. That's them trying to mess up the environment so they can control us. Now, sure, I mean, look what they did off, I think it was off the West Coast, when they had those subs down there, whatever it was, letting off the cannon noises or whatever, and killing all kinds of fish. Right. So, you know, it's the globalists that are the problem. The earth will look after itself, but it's the globalists who are trying to destroy, our food systems they poison our water, they poison our food, the GMOs and all this shit. They poison our bloodstreams and the vaccines and so on and so forth. I mean, this, if we could get them off the planet, we wouldn't have any of these problems other than natural things. Like when I lived in BC and Mount St. Helens went off, that shows you just the power of nature.
Boy, that was a loud boom. Hey, did you hear that boom, Ron?
We were living just, east of Surrey at the time. Yeah. And, it was a Sunday morning and the whole place just shook and the windows were rattling. And,
yeah. And, so and what the it was hell like was 100, that?
It went off like it was 150 miles away from us or something, right?
200 miles away from Vancouver. I was sleeping on a bench. I was at a party the night before, Ron.
Oh, were you?
I was sleeping on a park bench, believe it or not. And at 8 o'clock, I think it was around 8 o'clock or 8:15 in the morning, this bang came across the sky like nothing I've ever heard before in my life, and the ground shook. And yeah. Mount St. Helens was 200 miles away at the time. So something I'll never forget, that boom.
No, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
And,
it really was.
And we saw what the ash did and all the rest of it. And so, you know, what we have to understand is in the big picture, we're no bigger than ants. Okay. We're really no bigger than ants. If you look at an ant digging the dirt out between the crack in the sidewalk and they got a big pile of dirt there, you go, holy crap, man. But if you put that in perspective, the ant to that little area and us, I mean, if you go up high enough and look down at us and, we're mining or something, we're just digging a little hole. They blow all this stuff totally out of perspective. If you do a mine and then leave the mine, it will rewild itself. I mean, that's just what nature does.
A guy
went up Mount St. Helens. I seen his video like 30 whatever years afterwards. And, the trucks that were there, you know, the trees are all grown through the trucks and everything. That was a massive, the whole chunk of mountain left. And it's rewilded itself basically.
Oh, it always will.
So, Yeah, exactly. So the earth will look after itself, but we have these demons out there that are trying to destroy the earth and then blame that destruction on us and blame it on the number of people that are on the planet and all. I mean, these people are really sick in the head.
And, well, pretty soon they're going to tax the air we breathe, you know, that's coming.
Well, yeah. And, you know, but I read the thing in Saskatchewan, and this is how stupid, I don't know if it's the people or the media or what, or a combination of the two, but they had a thing out there that Saskatchewan is the coldest. It's the coldest stretch in February in 80 years. And they put that out, and I don't know, it was 4 or 6 hours later, they put out that Trudeau was in Saskatchewan and, you know, fighting about the carbon tax and that we had to do something about the climate change. Well, what is everybody loony? You know, it ain't been that cold since 1939, and you call it climate change. If it's that cold, and if it's as cold now in Saskatchewan as it was in 1939, you don't need a carbon tax. What you need to do is pay us to produce more CO2 to warm the damn place up again.
Hey, okay. That being asked, I just lost my train of thought. Ron, isn't that embarrassing? I was just going to ask you a question, and it completely slipped my mind. I must be losing it. I'm getting old.
No.
Oh, man, that really is annoying. That happens to me once in a while, buddy. I had a question I was going to ask, and you have to excuse me. I completely forgot what I was going to ask you. But do you believe it? Listen, okay, it came back to me. It came back to me, Ron. Do you believe we're going into a solar minimum? Have you looked into this?
Yes, we are.
Have you done any research into that? Well, I have, and I've come to the conclusion that this is true.
Well, yeah, it is true. I mean, it's just a natural cycle. I mean, look at England way back whenever. I think this was about the same time as the deep sea currents, or maybe not. But, I mean, the Thames River froze up. England was froze solid.
Yeah, these
are natural cycles.
Of course.
You know, man didn't cause that, and man didn't cause the Thames River to thaw out. You know, all this melting of the northern sea ice, that's from the sea currents that are warm. It's not melting from above, it's melting from below. And they did all that way back in the early 20s, I think it was, figured all that out. I mean, when I was in school, it was a big deal. They were all excited because this was the history we were taught. They were all excited because the Northwest Passage was melting and it was going to be a short route to China or whatever. And it was not bad news. It was good news. So, you know, it's a natural cycle. And yeah, we are going to move back into, it's time. It won't be that severe. It'll be colder. It'll probably get more snow. You know, we live through it. It's not a disaster. What we do need to do is we need to, concentrate on our food system because they can shut that down anytime they want.
I've seen it in the past.
You know, we've seen it in the past when Russia went after the farmers and that, and the farmers were starving to death. So we need to concentrate on growing good food and figuring out how to put good food down. I mean, it's the same as this old farmer that I used to take around to meetings with me, and he was in his late 80s or something. Really cool guy. But you know, I always like, you learn stuff from older people, right? And, he was saying when he was a kid, they were farmers and every county had a cannery, because you have good growing years and you have bad growing years. And that's always been the history. On a good year, you put down the excess or put it up for in case you have a bad year. You know, it's the same as my uncle, on his farm, he had apple trees, but they weren't all the same apple tree. They had different apple trees that could handle different climate situations, right? These people knew how this, you know, they knew that the cycles change all the time and that they have to deal with those cycles. Now we don't even pay any attention to any of that stuff because you just go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, you know, they know, I mean, they knew that we were going to have, I mean, where did global warming came from? It came from the fact that they knew that we were going to have a deep sea current heat up, a solar maximum at the same time. Well, obviously, it's going to get hot out. But it didn't have anything to do with CO2. It's just a natural cycle. Now we're moving to a cooling cycle, which is natural.
Sure going to put a damper on global warming, isn't it?
Well, no, because they keep spinning it out. I mean, even though it's the coldest February in Saskatchewan in 80 years, you know, this is just a blip, and we're still on the incline as far as overall temperature rise goes. They'll only be able to pull that off for so much longer.
I believe Northern Ontario and Ontario's had some of the coldest winters they've
right,
ever had.
But I think that's one of the reasons they're pushing so hard now. They know that their timelines are running out. Okay, you can't spin. You know, when everything's froze, you can't spin it anymore.
Right.
You might do it for a couple, 3 years, and then people are going to say, "Well, this is bullshit," right? You know, and it all goes back to the same thing: knowledge is power. They understand. The Earth cycles. They knew when it was going to get hot. I mean, in the 70s, early 70s, they were talking about a ice age coming. Okay? That was just in the 70s, early 70s, 69, 70. I remember how freaking cold it was then when I was young. And then it started to warm up. Okay, so we went from a cooling cycle to a warming cycle. So screw the ice age and let's run with the global warming. And we'll blame it on the people, even though it's just a natural cycle. So they're kind of pushing hard, I think, because they know the cycle's on the flip now, and they can only bullshit so much longer. So they're trying to get all control they can while they can, and destroy the nations while they can, and get people to, you know, oh, save us, UN, save us, save us. You know, the last thing I want to be is a global citizen. You know, screw that noise.
Yep, but that's what they're pushing, and that's where they're funding society, and we see it everywhere,
yeah,
Ron.
Yeah, so.
And like you said, educating yourself is the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
And you start to understand the game that's being played and how we're just being led down a path that isn't a good one.
I look at it this way. They're amoral, and we're moral. So what we need to do is mount our moral high horses, which puts us sitting higher than they are, and just say no. It's done. But we just got to get enough people to do it.
We definitely see evil running wild in the world.
It's gone crazy.
It's gone absolutely crazy.
But you know, if you go back to the 1500s and study Luther of what he saw in Rome when he got there, like little naked boys jumping onto birthday cakes and stuff, it was just, and prostitutes everywhere and just the most, you know, like, just bullshit, right? And he kicked the snot. I mean, he really kicked the snot out of Rome. And it wasn't until, everything was pretty normal after that, until Vatican II in 62. And from 62 on, okay, the Vatican has got, or Rome's got control again. All roads lead to Rome, and they've got control again, and they've got total control of all the Protestant churches and everything. You know, people say, how come Quebec gets all this special treatment? Well, let's see. Mulroney is a Roman Catholic and a lawyer. Trudeau is Jesuit trained and a lawyer. And it goes on and on and on. Krejci was a lawyer, right? You know, and a Catholic. And, you know, if you look back, it wasn't until, I don't know if it was the 50s or when, before a Catholic could hold a public office here, right? Because it was like the same as our forefathers. They knew who the snakes, the weasels, and the foxes were, and they didn't want them.
But now they're here.
They've got control of the house again.
Barry.
We're all back to Rome again, and all of this same stuff that Luther freaked out on when he went to Rome is back.
Say, Barry.
Full cycle. Yeah. Yes. So,
can I add something there?
Go ahead.
Do you know from 1867 until 1983, the United States government had cut ties with the Vatican and Jesuits? You want to know why? Do you know why, Barry?
Go ahead, Steve. I know why. Go ahead. Tell people.
All the evidence from the Abraham Lincoln murder led to the Jesuits and the Vatican.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but when they had Vatican II in 62, and I used to go to church and 1970 or somewhere in there, everything changed in our church. It went from, it went from being frugal and nice to your neighbor and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden there was a flip that you can have all the worldly goods you want if you believe in God. Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
And And so now instead of us worshiping the creator, we're worshiping the creation, which is ass backwards, right? And then we've got this thing, the transition from Pisces to Aquarius, which is really spooky shit. Because that's get rid of the creator and move into this other thing, which is the inclusiveness, the diversity. You can be whatever the hell you
want.
Age
of Aquarius.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that song first when I was about 13 years old, and it was kind of freaking me out. And now when I get looking in, if you look into Aquarius now, you will find that Aquarius is the age of woman rule. This is why you don't see many men on the news anymore. You're seeing fire chief, police chiefs, all these kind of stuff are all women now. This is all part of the Aquarian movement, and this is the transition of. And again, the Vatican is totally involved in this garbage, and we got to kick them in the teeth again. I keep telling people, we need to have reformation. If they got Vatican II, of which all of the churches, all of the non-Catholic churches, sold out to this one-world religion shit, and they're all pushing the UN agenda under the guise of, it says in the Bible that we're all supposed to be good stewards of the land. And that's the goal for the churches. And I've talked to lots of preachers and they say, well, it says here. Oh, shut up. Right. You just
any way you want.
Yeah. And all the churches, I mean, they're all corporate churches now. You don't want to pay taxes. You play the game, right? It's all been infiltrated. So we need to do really what Luther did. And it's amazing what he accomplished, because he just nailed the shit on the door and somebody copied it, and Gutenberg would just kicked up the press. Without the Gutenberg press, nothing would have happened. And, they just started printing leaflets, and these leaflets went everywhere. And the people just said, you know what, Rome, shove it up your ass. Okay. Mm. You're the Antichrist. The Geneva Bible that came with the first people that come to America and that was all written out warning the people about the Catholic Church and Rome, that they were the Antichrist. And that's basically what Luther said. And that's why they didn't want anything to do with these people.
They knew that back in the 5th century too.
Yeah. Well,
The biblical prophecy of an Antichrist could very, very well be filled by the current Pope, because his statement lately, just coming out and telling his followers that the Quran and the Bible are compatible and are basically the same thing, is meetings with high-level imams. I mean, this guy's agenda is so in your face, and he's got millions of people following him still.
Their agenda's never changed, okay? I mean, if you look at the statues and some of this artwork at the Vatican, you just somebody drop a bomb on this place, man.
Yeah, it's been there for a long time, but now people are really starting to get it.
It's amazing that our forefathers, who came here to get out from under the Buddha tyranny and that, they understood 100% what the deal was, and we got led astray, and and we have to get back on the right path. People cared for each other back then. Nobody gives a damn about anybody anymore, right? It's all about me, 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 right? Well, you're not going to make it, right? So.
Well, a society divided will fall, Ron, and that's exactly what we see going on.
Anyways, Barry, I'm in trouble because I was supposed to go mash potatoes and I didn't, and my wife
and I this asked, is the end of 2 hours anyway.
And do have a look at that video that I sent you, because that guy from Venezuela really nails the UN and nails the reporters, and just he's got it straight up. He knows what the game is being played against Venezuela right now, and he's got it straight, and he really did a good job of standing his ground without getting excited about anything. He was just a really cool guy.
I got to watch a bit of it. I'll watch the end of it. Thanks for showing.
All right. Okay. I didn't mean to come back in. I just saw.
No, I'm glad you did, because Mike, I'm glad you did, bud, because my
wife's not.
Okay, well, thank your wife, wherever you are in the background there, for allowing Ron to share the last 27 minutes of the show with me. Thanks again, Ron, and we'll talk again soon. We're at the end of the show anyways.
Okay, take care.
Hey, guys, well, it was kind of a ragtag show today. I really did want to get Mike in because he had some information that I wanted to share, but we'll try and do that in the near future. Thanks for joining me this week, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, and God bless you all.